Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is September the 24th. Garrett here with Brad and Wade.
Hello.
Hey guys.
How is it going?
It's going.
It is going.
It is going.
It
Which
is going.
Beats the alternatives? Yes.
Yeah. We're getting a little late start tonight, so if we seem a little slow, sluggish, and or not enthused, that's why. So bear with us. But we're going to try very, very hard. Huh, Wade?
Some harder than others.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Weekend stuff? Anybody? Everybody? Ready, set, go.
Mostly a quiet weekend, but we had a country concert that we went to, so that was fun.
Nice.
Apart from that, it was fairly standard.
Well, that's good. I mean, country stuff. Who'd you see?
I have no idea. I'm not much of a country fan myself, but there was some good music, so I enjoyed it.
Nice. Wade, you?
I was busy, but more domestically busy, you know, just making sure all the finances and things are all in order. You know,
that's a never-ending job.
Yeah, just to keep life going.
Yeah, that's a doozy. Let's see, weekend we went and saw Maze Runner, and I went to the local bar to watch the Seahawks beat up on the Broncos again.
You?
We. I see beat up. Yeah, and I say I. It was a collective deal. it was probably a better game than the Super Bowl was from the Broncos standpoint, but there was a lot of penalties on Seahawks' side, so shame on the Hawks, but they pulled out another victory in overtime, so haha.
Someone needs to be practicing their drills more.
If it wasn't for all the penalties, they might have won again.
They did win again. They just didn't win by a crazy margin.
Yeah, but they might have, you know, actually won again.
As opposed to just, you know, creep along.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I hear you.
Instead of stumbling into winning, they might have, you know, actually won.
Yeah, like legitimate no overtime BS. Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. So we caught bits and pieces of that game after ours was over. So
yeah, I mean, most people know that I'm not a huge sports fan. Family's from Seattle, so when the game is on that we can catch, we will root for. But I don't follow every player, every action. So
I think it's about the only time I will watch footballs when the Seahawks are on.
Pretty much. I don't really care about anybody else, and I barely even care about the Seahawks. So
Some things I just understand. It's why we can't get, like, order this to see this particular team's games.
So, like, a team-specific sports package?
Yeah. Like, I don't need to buy the premium deluxe edition where I get every game. I don't care about every game. I care about one freaking team.
Yeah. Yeah, but you got a lot of guys that do, like, the fantasy football stuff where they're getting players from different teams and all that.
They do care.
Track, and they do care because even though they don't care about how the team necessarily does, it's about how that player performs.
And I'm okay with that. You can still have your premier package, but for people
who
don't...
Do a team package as well.
I'm sorry, what?
I said do a team package as well for those that just go for a team.
Yeah, exactly. That makes sense to me, but, you know, especially down here in Southern California, there isn't a local team that everyone can root for. You've got all different people from different areas, different walks of life, per se, rooting for all their different teams. And, you know, so something like that, at least down here, would make a lot of sense. Now, in other areas like Seattle or Indiana, whatever, where you have kind of your own local team, you don't really, no one cares beyond their own team. So
that's good. I think at work, we have a lot of Seattle flights because every day I must see at least 5 Seahawk jerseys.
There's a lot of tourists that come down from Seattle, and you got Alaska Airlines that goes up and down the coast.
Ah, so like, oh, this is what the sun is, huh?
Yep, pretty much. Yep. Well, let's move on to some movies.
But before you do, I have one question. You said you've got no local teams.
Correct.
San Diego has a team.
San Diego's an hour and a half south of us.
And Indianapolis is 2 hours south of me. What's your point? That's close.
Yeah, but you also have How many other teams are out of the state of Indiana?
Football? None.
Okay. So California, you've got the Chargers, you've got the Oakland Raiders, you've got the San Francisco 49ers, you've got, I think it's just those three. But I mean, the Rams, so you said it was the Rams and the Rams left, it was the Raiders and the Raiders left and they came back or whatever. So, I mean, there's not just that
so
one team.
So you do have local teams. It's not that you don't have them.
Local,
it may not be your interest, but you
sure.
have them.
Sure.
All right.
Thank you.
That was my point. Moving on.
Okay, fine. Moving on. And into some movies. So quite a few movies to address here coming out this weekend. We have The Equalizer. This is the Denzel Washington movie. It's got a 70% critic rating and a budget of $50 million. It is about a retired Special Forces soldier, member, whatever.
Quote, every 70% of the movie
operative?
Ever.
Let's go with that. Special Forces operative. Now living a new quiet life, he meets a young girl who's under the control of a violent Russian gangster, and he can't stand by and watch. Armed with his hidden skills to serve vengeance against the helpless, McCain finds a reawakened desire for justice. If someone has a problem, odds against them, nowhere to turn, call The Equalizer. I think it's done by the same people who did Training Day, so if you're a fan of Denzel and some of his kind of compassionate but hard roles.
So is this like that movie with Liam Neeson, except with somebody else's family instead of his own?
Probably, yeah. That's kind of...
I mean, that's what I got from the
way,
previews. Yeah.
So, but moving on, we have The Box Trolls, also a 70% critic rating. Budget was not posted. If you haven't seen the trailer for this, it looks pretty cute. I'll probably be seeing it. Synopsis is that an orphan boy named Eggs, who is raised by underground, cave-dwelling, trash-collecting trolls...
that wear
the
boxes.
Box Trolls. That they wear boxes.
Clothes.
And the Box Trolls end up being targeted by an evil exterminator named Archibald Snatcher, who is voiced by... oh, God, what's his name? He played the Mandarin in Iron Man. Ben Kingsley.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Eggs has to save his family from Snatcher.
You said voiced by. Is it animated?
Yes. It looks like a Tim Burton kind of claymation, Corpse Bride type of...
stop motion.
Style, yeah.
Yep. It's a movie called Box Trolls. Is it animated?
Could have been real people with boxes on. Jeez.
It is an animated, family-friendly movie. So, I'm throwing that out there. Do I need to start including, like, the movie ratings as far as G and PG for you now? I mean, I'll do
Maybe.
That. But it won't happen this week.
That would require work. Move on.
That's right. Also coming out is a movie called The Two Faces of January. This has an 84% critic rating, no budget. This is with Viggo Mortensen and Kirsten Dunst. Kind of interesting storyline here. A con man and his wife travel to Greece. They befriend a local tour guide / scam artist. And then when prior cons come back to bite them, chaos follows. So... the synopsis was really in-depth online, I think because this was actually released elsewhere already. So I tried to summarize the best I could without giving any spoilers away, but...
Is it a foreign film?
I think so, but
okay.
I'm not positive. So, bad due diligence on my part.
Yep.
Sorry. Number 4 out of the 5 is Two Night Stand. This is a romantic comedy. No budget, no critic rating. A pair of 20-something strangers awaken after an ill-advised one-night stand to find themselves snowed in by a blizzard that's put all of New York on ice. Trapped together in a tiny Brooklyn apartment, they're forced to get to know each other far better than any anonymous bed partners should. Could kind of be hilarious, actually.
Spoiler alert, he has gas.
It's It's how is keeping the place warm. Come on.
That's right. That's not funny, though.
Well, yeah, I meant as opposed to electric heat. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh,
that wasn't clear, was it?
Oh, okay. No, no, you weren't.
Sorry.
And finally, a movie called Jimmy, All by My Side. This is a 91% critic rating. This is the story, or not necessarily full story, but a story about Jimi Hendrix, who is portrayed by Andre Benjamin, who is the lead rapper-singer for Outkast. No big Hendrix music will be in this movie. They did not get approval from the Hendrix Estate, which is the Experience Hendrix LLC Corporation.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess there's going to be some early on Jimi Hendrix stuff before he kind of released his first debut album. But some of the people that were close to Jimmy are calling this movie a fictionalized interpretation. Apparently, there's a scene where it shows a very violent and aggressive Jimi Hendrix beating or physically abusing a female partner. And the True Life female partner came out and said that he was nothing but a gentleman with her in the time they spent together. So,
what? Hollywood? Stretch the truth?
Apparently.
You mean made
that happens?
You mean made
up
stories? Alert
the press. Oh, wait. Here we are.
This movie did come out last year in some of the kind of indie or cult film festivals. It was released last year in the UK and is now coming to the States. So if you're a Jimi Hendrix fan, check it out. Hopefully it's not too fictionalized. Maybe it's somebody trying to save face or protect an image. Who knows?
Get back to us if you know.
Yeah, let us know what you think and if it's a poor interpretation or a great interpretation. We'd like to know.
Or just an outlie of an interpretation.
That's fine, too. And so in the box office, we have Maze Runner, which, if you remember, this came out last week. We did see this. We'll talk about it shortly. That pulled in $32.5 million against its $30 million budget. So into profitability right off the bat. A Walk Among the Tombstones took second at $13.1 million. Its budget still not posted. This Is Where I Leave You took third at $11.9 million. And No Good Deed came in fourth at $10.2 million. Additional on top of its previous. So it's pulled in $40 million overall against its $13 million budget.
And not a bad showing.
Not a bad, not a bad payback for what it was. I don't believe we have any honorable mentions. If I do, they're on the website. I don't have them in front of me. Shame, shame, tisk, tisk. So with that, Wade, Maze Runner, what'd you think?
Really, kind of slow for me. Like, granted, it did kind of ramp up halfway through, but it was just, this happened, and we're going to sit in a forest for about two-thirds of the movie.
Yeah, I want to correct something, too. Last week when I was reading the synopsis weren't really accurate. It mentioned that the last person to join the crew was female. That was accurate. But it said that the main character, Thomas, could read her thoughts, and that wasn't true at all. They had similar memories that they were able to share with each other, but there was no mind reading involved.
He was having visions. She was in them.
Yeah. But that's not him reading her mind. That's them having the same past.
Someone didn't do their due diligence with the synopsis.
That's correct. And that's what happens. Thank you, Wikipedia, for useless information. That's supposed to be our job. Kind of an interesting premise to the movie that I don't know if I really want to spoil. It took a long time for them to express it later on in the movie as to why things were happening. But it definitely expresses that there's going to be more than just this movie in a series. I think one of the last lines was commence phase two.
Yeah.
So read into that all you want. Interpret.
I believe that is an unabashed sequel tie-in.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, that in the movie had, you know, some information, but not a lot of closure. So it definitely, if they don't continue it and leave everybody hanging on it, that would be kind of pathetic.
I mean, they go through, how do I say this? I don't want to spoil anything. They go through everything. There we go. That's a pretty good way to put it.
They deal with the challenges at hand.
Yeah. And then they're shown for this, what this, the woman does. It's like, after this particular event, why does it matter if they perceive you this way or another? I have to be so vague about this, because if I give anything away...
Yeah, there's some really in-depth kind of causes to why things are going on or what the rationale is that are worth watching and are worth checking out. Visually, it's great. They had some slow points, but I kind of understood the slow points as whenever the people, the kids, enter this area, they have no memory of who they were, what their name was initially... for a while. So you kind of have to go through the journey of the main character of picking up his memory and trying to figure out what's going on. So some of the slow aspects I was easy to accept, because it wasn't like there was already a story there that you had to get caught up on. You were very much learning as it went with the characters. So I definitely recommend it. It's got a kind of a Hunger Games-ish feel about it. Kind of a Children of the Corn type of hints. So check it out if you're interested. If it's your vibe, if not, then don't bother.
Go see something else.
Go see something else. And again, next week we'll be talking about the Box Trolls. We are planning to see that this weekend. So tune in if you want to hear firsthand expressions of that. And that being said, we're going to jump into the news.
It's kind of a mobile device heavy week for me. So we start when off isn't. The news. We start off the news this week with Apple. Carry on from last week. Of course, last week Apple released iOS 8, their new software for the iPhone and iPad and iPod Touch. As we touched on last week, a flaw was discovered in their new health monitoring application, so that was not released with iOS 8. So this week, iOS 8.0.1 was released today, Wednesday the 24th, which was to fix the HealthKit issues. However, not long after the update was released, it was pulled from their Apple's update servers because of issues with it completely ruining your data connectivity. After doing the update, there were enough reports. It wasn't a one and two thing. There were enough reports of people not being able to use their Touch ID fingerprint reader to log in and no longer having mobile data.
Your phone is now a brick. Enjoy.
You could still make phone calls, and if you had Wi-Fi access, you were okay. Yeah. So 8.0.1 was pulled. No news or no announcements over when that will be returning to the update list, but hopefully they'll get it right this time.
And if you've downloaded 8.1, where do you stand?
If you've already downloaded and installed 8.0.1, then you are probably having those issues. There are reports of people having no issues at all. If you're not having issues, then, you know, you're fine. If you are, hopefully you followed the instructions and did a backup first. You can restore 8.0 from backup. Otherwise, do a Google search for restore 8.0. There's plenty of online references on how to roll back.
Okay, so people aren't dead in the water. There's options available.
There are options available. It's a little more technical than updating. You know, updating is fairly automated. This is going to require some manual effort on your part, but it is doable. To get your mobile data working again.
Gotcha.
And your Touch ID.
Nice.
In other words, to get your phone back.
Yeah. To get your phone back again, please follow the instructions for making it older.
Nice. Way to go, yeah. Apple.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what happened on this one. Seems like they were in such a hurry to try and get something out the door that maybe a few...
It stumbled along the way.
Yeah, a few check procedures were skipped or missed, or I don't know. This is an unusual stumble for them.
I agree. Well, I got an upswing for iOS 8 and some of the new quote-unquote magical things you can do with your new iPhone and or updated software if you've got a recent version.
Woohoo!
Some of these... I dare say Android and or Samsung has been doing for a while. And
probably.
Some of these, you know, Brad, maybe you can weigh in on. First one is text faster. So if you have an app open and you get a notification, you can go to a kind of a split screen or dual window function, reply to a text, close it out while still maintaining view of the window you were on. Samsung. find contacts easier. If you double tap the home screen, usually it shows the most recent or the open programs. It'll also have little bubbles on recent contacts, so it'll be easy to, you know, pop open that, and then you can either call, text, as normal. Third is to share more photos. You can send multiple photos without leaving the message window, and if you tap the camera icon while in the message window, it will show the 20 most recent pictures in a secondary or split screen type view as well.
Quick access for selfies.
And speaking of selfies, you can send photos and videos instantly by pressing and holding the camera icon. You'll see a new redial wheel. It allows you to snap and instantly send photos or video without using photo stream and with the load and send function of messaging.
Express lane for selfies.
That's right. find old attachments. So if you're in a messaging window, there's a details icon at the top, and you can go back and find all the attachments that applied to that conversation without going through the entire thread.
If I could just take it off on a little bit of a tangent here, seeing as Wade has gone off on selfies.
Wade's clearly got an obsession with selfies.
Well, so does that mean now if there's more than one person in a photo, it becomes an HOV selfie?
Sure.
Just saying, you know, if we've got selfies and selfie fast lanes, then, you know, selfie carpool lane would be a photo with more than one person?
That's
and yourself?
Probably.
Do you get awesome. As a group photo.
Do you get it like a
trademark?
Trademark.
A reduced rate on data usage with multiple selfies with multiple people on it?
Well, if you're posting it to Facebook, you can get everyone in one photo as opposed to individual photos of all 50 people. So
weird.
You know, at least it takes you care of that factor.
Okay, sorry.
So, yes, yeah, apparently,
great,
yeah.
Great, thanks. Okay, moving on. Share location. I'm trying to get through these fast because there's like a bunch of them and we don't want to be here with purely Apple News all day. At least I don't. But you can, through the same details screen, you can send your current location to who you're talking to so they can meet up with you, I suppose.
Where are you at? Right here.
Right here. Mute an iMessage thread. So also in the details, there is a do not disturb to mute a specific conversation. If you got something important you need to do, or do you don't want your phone going off? I don't really understand this one. Why to mute one conversation? If you have to mute your phone, you want to mute it for everything usually. So I'm not really sure.
Where this can come in handy is if you've been included in a group iMessage.
Ah.
So there's, you know, five of us all chatting backwards and forwards. Well, okay. I don't want to leave the group because some of the stuff is relevant, but you're not really talking about anything that involves me right now. Then I can mute the conversation. So I'm still involved. I'm still getting all the messages, but I don't get any notifications about it.
That makes sense.
That, and you've been pulled over, so you need that thing to not make any sound really freaking quickly.
Yeah, and you will not get any notifications on that conversation until you go back through and disengage the do not disturb.
Voila.
Yep.
Yep. Reply to emails faster. This is the same type of, or not the same type of deal as the messaging, but with additional swipe tools and features, you can now reply within the same window as the old message, as opposed to generating a whole new email as a reply. So kind of like your standard computer reply versus like a whole new email string. You can now share apps through cloud settings. If you buy an app on iTunes and you've got other people in your family that want to use that app, they can utilize the same one without buying it individually. Okay, great. Edit photos better. Better-ish. Beyond the basic filters and brightness that were available before, now you have exposure, contrast, and composition all on the phone at your fingertips for those professional photographers on the grow. There we go.
Growing professional photographers on the go.
We're a lot of goes there. Oh, maximize God. Battery life. No surprise that battery is a big issue here. Under the settings, through general into usage, it will show you the apps that are using the most battery life so you can manage yourself and your phone's longevity. Search more easily better. If you swipe down from the home screen, I added the better part at the end. I thought it was funny. If you swipe down from the home screen, you'll get Spotlight. This searches within the phone along with relevant online data. You can adjust these settings through the general settings area under Spotlight Search. Prepare for the weather. The weather initial weather app looks the same, but if you swipe up on the weather app, you'll get a more in-depth look at the forecast along with the general day's outlook. Just because it says 75 now doesn't mean it won't be 107 at lunchtime. Go black
or
and white.
Or 32. Or 32.
If you're in New York.
Or 32 if you're in Indiana or New York. Go black or white. If you're tired of the colors, under the settings and accessibility, you can switch to a grayscale setting. All your screenshots will still be in color, but what you see may be a nice toned down shade of gray. And last but not least, and clearly the one that Bradley is looking forward to the most, emojis for newbies. A new smiley face on the keyboard for quick access to smileys and other emoticons to express to your favorite correspondents.
Oh yeah, that's definitely what I've been waiting for.
I heard that about you. So yeah, some of those things, I mean, the Samsung's been doing it for a while with the split screen stuff. Way to go, Apple, you're catching up with the times. Other stuff seems kind of interesting, and a lot of that I scratch my head and wonder why not sooner. So
sure,
that's my take on that.
Just believe this one thing is that I am really getting tired of between Apple people and Samsung people. I am tired of people basing their life value of what phone they have in their pockets.
Well, you'll never get away from that. It's just like cars, you know, it's a status symbol. You do realize that the iPhone 6 Plus, not on a contract with the big hard drive, is $1,000.
Yep.
$949 pre-tax.
People are monkeys for standing out here waiting for the iPhone 6. And, oh, look, we were doing this before this was. And, oh, but now look at all the things the iPhone's like. God, people, shut up.
Clearly, this passionate is much. Favorite topic.
Talk What's it? That? Jesus.
Hashtag what?
I said passionate much.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just tired of hearing it. It's every time a new iPhone comes out, it's you got people calling monkeys and slaves and whatever, and Samsung's like, well, we were already doing this, and it's like, please.
Yeah, Samsung's got a pretty interesting commercial out right now about how the Note, when it came out in 2012 at 5.5 inches, was criticized for its size and how monstrous it was. And now you've got all these other manufacturers, and specifically Apple, who are imitating what was once kind of looked down upon. So they're doing their part on capitalizing on some of the hype out there. But
yeah, but you know, the difference is that Apple's actually doing it right now.
Really? Is that what you're going with?
You know, it's one of those topics, though, Wade, that it's always going to generate passion because it's something that, you know, in my opinion, your phone has become something that is deeply personal. You know, it's no longer just something that you pick up and dial a number every once in a while. This is something that we use to stay connected for work, for, social, for everything. This has become our connection to the world, and it is an insanely personal device that, you know, connects us. I mean, there's I don't know all that many phone numbers anymore. It's all in my phone book, in my contacts list, you know?
Agreed.
Email addresses, the same way. I look them up in my contacts list. So, yes, I agree. And I'm, you know, I won't apologize for being an Apple fan, but I don't get the hatred.
I know. You should apologize for being an Apple fan.
Watch it. But no, I don't understand the hatred. Look, this is what I prefer. You prefer something else. That's fine.
No, of course.
You know, we're always going to be passionate about it, and I'm, you know, we're always going to be able to give passionate responses for why I think mine is better. I think mine is better, obviously, because that's what I picked to use, and you're going to have the same opinion about your device, and I think that's just, it's always going to be. But as far as the intense hatred goes, yeah, that's, come on, guys, really?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, it's one thing to be passionate and have passionate discussions about it, but when it starts to get hateful or nasty, I mean, we're all adults here. Let's have a civil conversation about what we like, what we don't like. Wait, I don't know about you and how closely you are entwined, but a lot of people, not only A, feel naked without their cell phone, but B, can't function. I mean, someone like Brad, they're not sitting at a desk all day. The phone is their lifeline. They do get all their information that way, whether it's emails or whatnot. I mean, it's something you're mm-hmm. using on a daily basis, and not just here and there, but constant. So you're going to have these passionate feelings about what I like, what I'm familiar with, what it looks like, what it does, and we're never going to get away from it.
You can be passionate and happy with what you have, but when you're calling out other people as monkeys and drones, it just gets annoying. And I would love to see Apple just put up a thing and say, look what we did first, the touchscreen. Done.
That would be pretty funny, actually.
It's like, all right. But anyway, so if you're done with trying to fix your phone and the magical things you can do with the new upgrade or whatever the heck is going on with that, Steam, you can play some games brought to you by Steam.
On my phone?
Yeah, maybe. Actually, I do believe a certain game has. I just realized that Five Nights at Freddy's is up on the iOS store, which is also a game, same on Steam.
I know Steam has an app, but I don't think you can play games through it. It's more of a community portal. But some of those games may be on the marketplace.
Yeah.
Either way.
Sorry. Didn't mean to hijack it.
What's that?
I said, sorry, didn't mean to hijack your story.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Actually, I did. I can't say that. Go ahead.
Anywho, Steam has found a way for people to cut through the metaphorical sea of terrible on their servers, games-wise. And this is brought in by the Games Discovery. Now, this is in a two-part way with a upgrade to their algorithm, which refreshes daily. This brings up games that is more liking to what you have in your library. And depending on what groups you follow, those groups can recommend games and it'll be put on your front screen, homepage of Steam.
So instead of getting the whatever's new, it's more tuned to your habits and interests.
Yeah, instead of just having, I mean, that's how to say this. It's been widely regarded that Steam's homepage before this update has been a convoluted mess of a disaster. And that when you look for a game and it's buried because some developer or publisher has decided to upload their entire back catalog of games on that particular day, and you can't find the one you want. So
this is making a more intelligent way of surfacing games that are more likely to interest you.
Yes. And it's definitely cleaning up the homepage. I mean, it does kind of feel like, you know, they were tired of hearing that their front page was just a sea of crap. So something someone just went, fine, let them do it. Let them mitigate this stuff.
Make your own homepage.
Yeah.
Nice. No, that's cool. I mean, if you're going to spend money on the Steam store, they better be trying to offer you the games that you would play, not just, hey, this new developer released this new pile of crap.
Just uploaded their whole back catalog of crap. I mean, it's... I mean, could go back to the thing of a service.
Would you
thing.
Like to play a 15-year-old game?
Yeah. Well, if it's a 15-year-old game, I can search for that 15-year-old game by the name and whatnot.
Sure.
I mean, it's this goes back to the whole service thing is, if I can find it and it's easy to get to, I'll buy it. Because I know it's good because I've, well, for me, I've done my homework on the game. So, you know, if I can find the game with relative ease, and I already know it's good because I've already done my homework on the game, voila.
Make it easy to find.
And it should increase your sales, which, come on, basic economics means more money for you.
That's the plan.
Sounds good.
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone? Bueller?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, while we're on the topic of making money, there is a company that we have covered the news for here lately about not being able to make money very well, and that would be our favorite phone company to the north, BlackBerry.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, so actually, I was quite surprised to see their name pop up in the news. I had no idea they were still a business.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how we see that. We're all up in that Samsung versus Apple thing. It's like, BlackBerry's like, I'm still here.
look, guys, I'm still holding on to my 0.05% of market share, so don't count me out yet.
Yeah.
Right.
So, BlackBerry announced a new phone. Called the BlackBerry Passport. It is a 4.5-inch square phone. And keeping with BlackBerry's traditional roots, it has a physical keyboard. The screen is a touchscreen, but it also has the physical keyboard that BlackBerry is, shall we say, infamous for. It starts at $599 unlocked. AT&T has said that they will probably carry it, but nobody else has stepped up to do it.
Interesting. And I'm looking at it now, and that it's kind of a strange design with that square screen as opposed to the elongated we've gotten used to.
Yeah, so the link will be in the show notes. Everybody go check it out and comment and tell us what you think. You know, I think it's kind of weird. I'm not sure I could... I think that's just too much of a change of a form factor for me. There are going to be people, naturally, that it's going to appeal to, and that's awesome. But for me, yeah, I just, you know, I don't know. I'm not loving it.
And I mean, they show a picture here, I'm looking online, that the BlackBerry Passport is the width, not thickness, but width of 1.5 iPhones.
Yes, it is wider.
Because the screen is square, not elongated, it's 50% wider than a iPhone would be in your hand.
Now, the one nice thing, and I'm not, I'm guessing they're getting their figures from the iPhone 6, not the 6 Plus. For comparison, they're quoting the iPhone battery life as 10 hours, and the BlackBerry Passport is boasting a 30-hour battery life, which Holy is cow. Huge, yes.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, that is huge. Because that's one of the biggest things that's killing me is battery life. I burn through batteries.
Yep.
I mean, I carry a spare, you know, external battery to charge my phone, and I have a charger in the hotel, in the car, in my laptop bag, in my toolbox, so I can plug in everywhere. I mean, it's just 30 hours would be a dream.
Right. Be able to leave it and know you charge it overnight and not have to worry about it the next day.
Yeah, that's I remember way back when we used to be able to do that.
That was way back when it wasn't, here's five different games and you need a, here's your Facebook app and here's a messaging app for your Facebook app, and it's like, oh God.
No, you're absolutely correct. You know, back in the era of the feature phone, when, you know, you had to press the number 2 3 times to get the letter C, yeah. You know, I could go for 3 or 4 days without charging my cell phone.
Yeah, but now if you're not charging, at least for me, and I'm not on as much as you, if I don't charge it overnight, I'm toast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so
I'm at like 50% each day. And you think that, oh, that's not much, but it's like the phone's dead by the second day.
Yeah.
Well, for me, typically, I do a full charge overnight, every night, guaranteed. And then typically, I have to put it back on charge around lunchtime or maybe just a little after 1 or 2 o'clock because I'm down to 20%.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous.
Most of it. All these features, but they're, you know, the biggest thing that everyone gripes about is battery, and not enough companies are looking at that.
Yeah, people, you want to know how to save battery life? Put your phone down and talk to the people next to you.
There's people that next to me?
Help.
Creepy.
I'm not on a fishbowl?
Blub, blub, blub.
Okay, but you know, in our... This is where, you know, the constant advancements come back to bite us. I would be prepared to have a slightly thicker phone. Like, by slightly thicker, I'm talking 50% thicker again. And have a bigger battery in it. That would be enormous for me.
I don't disagree.
In considering, you know, weighing the options between the 6 and the 6 Plus, if I do decide to get one, I'm leaning towards the 6 Plus, not because I need the bigger screen, but because I want the bigger battery.
Yep. I did see that the battery life is substantially different.
Yeah. So.
No, not substantially, but definitely measurably.
Enough to make a difference. Enough to make me consider putting this bigger thing in my pocket to get the battery.
Well, maybe not
your pocket. What's that?
Maybe not your pocket.
Maybe not your pocket. We'll come carry a back fanny to that pack. One.
Well, no, if you've been following online, and I'll kind of segue back into another article Brad Scott, but the iPhone 6 Plus and its larger design and its thin, lightweight aluminum frame is in your pocket for less than a day, you will bend your phone.
Yeah, so... this is an interesting story that came out. You know, it's the typical cycle. You know, we go through these cycles of no news. I'm talking about the Apple cycle. No news, then rumors, then pre-launch, then announcement, then launch, and then invariably after somebody gets the phone, there's a scandal about how they did it so wrong. You know, with the phone, iPhone... Was it the 5 or the 4? With the 4, we had the antenna.
Yep.
With the 5, we had the Touch ID. Now with the 6, they're calling it Bendgate because the iPhone can bend.
Yeah, so there's just searching on Facebook tonight, I found a really interesting faux advertisement, and I'll try to run through it here really quick. iPhone 6, bending the rules again. What makes a good design? Creativity? Functionality? The ability to inspire? Is it all of these or none? Now, for the first time ever, you can decide. Introducing Bend for iPhone 6. With a body of moldable aluminum and a new sapphire flex screen, you can now shape your iPhone to fit your needs. Curve the screen in the immersive cinematic experience. Maximize field of view. Point the speakers out to create a wide, vibrant soundstage. Mold it to fit your pocket or for that perfect feel in your hand. The possibilities are endless. Bend the rules.
So, just for reference pretty good here.
Like, if you ever had your phone in your pocket and you try to sit down, it's just like uncomfortable. I mean, we're now getting to the point with these phablets that are just huge. It's like, it kind of just bends around my thigh where I could just sit comfortably.
If it was a design feature and it was meant to do that, exactly. It'd be great.
Who said? I would laugh if Apple's like, no, dude, this was intentional.
Yeah, we didn't say that in the keynote. No, that's our number one feature.
Wait, one more thing.
Very well played there, sir. Very well played. Yes, one more thing. The phone bends. So I'm kind of torn on this one, honestly. Part of me is
bending over it.
No, I'm not bending. I'm torn. Do ooh, that with your Samsung.
I'm a bit too far.
I'm too bad with your Samsung.
Part of it is a very much a duh factor. We're getting smaller and thinner devices. I mean, it's aluminum. Aluminum's a metal. Metal bends, especially when you get it in such thin sheets, you know?
Sure.
So part of it is a, you know, well, of course. And I think that there's probably not a whole lot to be done. I mean, maybe they can strengthen it a little bit, but I think it's going to be one of those things that we've kind of become accustomed to. You know, don't drop your phone, the screen will shatter. Don't put it in the same pocket with keys, you'll scratch it. You know, be careful, you're going to need to put it in a shirt pocket, not a pants pocket, because you will bend it. That being said, again, going, and this is where you picked up your segue, Garrett, you know, do we need to pursue an ever-increasing thin and light phone? Guess what? I like the fact that my phone is thin and light, but the iPhone 5 was actually thin and light enough. If you used all those advanced materials to make the 6, which is bigger, the same thinness and weight as the 5, it doesn't need to go smaller. That would have been fine.
Well, and it's back to your previous statement, too, and this statement that you just made. If you were to take the thickness of the iPhone 5 and utilize the ability to make the thinner component walls and other structures for the 6, why not then fill that space that now you've created with your thinner materials with, oh, I don't know, a bigger battery.
Bigger battery.
Or, you know, give us the advanced technology. Just because you can make it thinner doesn't mean that's the best design.
Exactly.
And I have a hard time accepting the fact that this has been found out in only a few days of the phone's release and being in people's hands and or pockets and or whatever. You mean to tell me in all of the designing and whatever at Apple, no one had the phone in their pocket and then bent it and went, maybe we need to think about this.
What, are you kidding? Of course they didn't.
So,
Everybody at Apple has a pedestal on their desk that they put their prototype iPhones on.
I honestly don't doubt that. I really, really don't. It's probably gold plated. You know, because that's just Apple's play.
But, it's your reward for the first year completion there.
But I mean, there's a video online with a guy who takes an iPhone 6 Plus, and so far I've only heard this with the Plus. I don't know if it affects the 6 also, the 4.7. But the guy takes his phone in his hands and with his thumbs and bends, pushes his thumbs away from him, and you just watch the phone bend. I mean, it's not like it's taken a lot of pressure here. So
I imagine that it affects both because they're made from the same materials, but it's being more prominent in the Plus because with it being the larger size, you get more leverage.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, so it remains to be seen. I haven't seen any replies from Apple as to if they're going to even acknowledge it or if it's a case of, you know, hey, this is the way the phone is. Be more careful in using it. I'm sure that that would have been Steve Jobs' response. I mean, that was his response to the problems with the antenna, right? It was everybody's holding it wrong.
Until the next version came out and they...
And it was different.
Look, it was different. Oops.
Yeah.
In other words, it costs us too much money to fix it now, so just hang around, we'll fix it so you can buy the next version.
That's an attitude to have. It's not our fault. It's yours.
That's
well, how about
right.
This? When Harley Davidson leaks oil on the road from their motorcycles, their response is, yeah, it's meant to do that. Wait, what?
And with this
whole... engine's designed to leak oil?
And with this whole bending and phone being lighter, have you ever had that moment where you forget that you put your phone in your pocket and you have that mini heart attack? Like, you're smacking your thighs going, where's my phone?
Not with a 6 Plus.
Yeah. Are you sure it's getting lighter and it's bending so it's more comfortable so you don't feel it?
It's contoured to your leg. You'll never find it again.
I'm just waiting to see people walk around just having heart attacks like at any given moment because they can't feel their phones.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that's a phone in your pocket.
No, you're not happy to see me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like Wade said earlier, if this was something that was actually like a feature and it was designed to do this and it wasn't a potential for cracking internal circuit boards and whatnot, then great, awesome. But that definitely wasn't the case here.
Yeah, and something to keep in mind, there was a video of a guy trying to correct it themselves, and when he bent it back into place, it shattered the screen. So yeah. Don't try this at home. Take it back to the Apple store. Like I said, there's no official answer as of yet that I know of from Apple, so you know, I don't know if you're going to get any joy from the Apple store as to being under warranty or if they're going to charge you, but yeah. Trying to fix it yourself is definitely not the answer.
Your best bet is to take the brand new phone that you just bought that is thinner and lighter than anything else that you've had before and go out and put a nice thick case on it so it can't bend.
And that's always been the irony, isn't it? The beautiful design. I mean, admittedly, the iPhones are typically absolutely gorgeous devices.
Agreed.
And then we go slap a case on them.
Yep. At Wade's. He's got a big old shock protective rubber reinforced whatever case on his. Now,
granted, I've been told I am hard on phones without even realizing it, and my job, I'm around water. 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Yep.
So is it waterproof?
Yes. Semi.
Semi.
Water resistant, assuming all the doors don't break off.
Sure.
So
I haven't had a problem with it yet, so it's doing its job.
There you go.
Awesome.
The case wise.
Yeah. But you know, it's one of those things, and I know we're stretching this topic a little long here, but it's not like that the any of the features are unprecedented. They make waterproof phones.
Yep, I have one.
So, you know, maybe the iPhone 6S or maybe the iPhone 7, instead of trying to make it smaller and thinner, give it a better battery and make it waterproof.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. There's plenty of features in the industry to choose from.
Yes.
Take your pick, optimize it, and give people something that they can utilize and not break in the first 3 days.
And this is where Apple's strength really lies. The ruggedized phones look, most of them usually look like junk. Yep. You know, they're clunky and huge. This is Apple's forte. Take the function and make it look awesome.
Hey, I can beat in the head with my phone from a mile away, so. Anywho, now.
It's a self-defense device.
Yeah. Into other things that bend. I forget which thing. Gearbox, there we go. Released some gameplay footage for their new game, Battleborn. This first started looking like a MOBA in the vein of Dota 2, League of Legends, Heroes of New Earth, go on, so forth. It turned out this to be kind of a more cooperative shooter. Now, that was the line I kind of found myself pondering was when, even before the gameplay was shown, the writer, I believe he was, stated that a cooperative story mission, and that rang on my ears as I am jumping around the words forced online campaign. Because they either took it two ways. Either you had the characters that you were running around with being very good programmed AI, to where they actually use like humans would be using these characters, or it was, you need to be online for this to work. And I've always, and I remember going back a year or two ago where we had SimCity, the most recent one, and Diablo 3, everyone was raising their arms about why are these always online? This is affecting my gameplay. Why is it always online? And yet now we're, oh, okay, it's online now. We don't care.
Well, that was going to be my statement, because what do you think Destiny is?
Exactly. We are now...
No one said anything about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because it was being sold as a MMO slash first-person shooter, everyone heard MMO, okay, we should be playing with other people, and so no one really made a statement about it. And now another game comes out that says, oh yeah, our stuff's going to be a cooperative campaign, and the topic comes back out. So
it's a class-based shooter.
Creative marketing, or
it's a class-based shooter. So it's, you know,
Destiny.
Yeah, if they have, they're gonna have, you know, your choice of class of the, well, people to play, and you know, either it's one way, it's set for you have a set team, and these people, these programs are non-playable characters, where they are playable, but you know what I mean. This set group for this mission are so well programmed, which I highly doubt.
Sure.
Or it's, you know, forced online, which he apparently was very careful to you to jump around that sentence.
Obviously, this is a sore point. Otherwise, he wouldn't need to jump around.
Obviously, yeah.
Was it a point of trying creative avoidance, or was he just purely saying, hey, this is what the game is going to be?
He pretty much said, and this is one of our cooperative story missions.
Okay.
He jumped around saying forced online mission.
But was there other points in his statement that he could have said this is going to be online based and chose other creative words, or was this the only instance?
This was pretty much the only instance, but going back to the ultimatums, how can we argue this?
Well, I don't necessarily see this as deception, though, then. I mean, obviously, internet's getting better. Obviously, people typically get a game to play with other people.
He was upfront about it. He was just very choice in his words.
Yeah, so even if we give him the benefit of the doubt on this, and, you know, maybe he wasn't trying to, that this was just his best way of wording it. You know, I take exception to your statement that most people buy games to play together. I don't.
But
I buy games to play by myself.
But a lot of the games that you have played are online-based, are meant to be experienced with other people alongside.
Most of the games that I've played are able to be played online with others, but not required. And typically, I prefer to play my games. I'm trying to think. I've got probably 10 or 15 Xbox 360 games that have optional online multiplayer, whatever. I like to play the campaign. I like to play offline. I like to play by myself. I like to do my own thing. Now, that's not saying I have never played online, and that occasionally I don't enjoy it, but I don't buy it for that. I buy it for the campaign that I can play by myself.
I am generally in the same realm, especially when it comes to campaign, because the worst thing is that if you buy a game, Diablo 3 is my example, I don't need to play it with other people. As Diablo 2 was, you could play solo, offline, all you want to your heart's content. But when you have a game like Diablo 3, or you have a game like Destiny, or you have a game like the one you're talking about,
Battleborn,
and now all of a sudden the host company's servers are down, you've spent $60 for a game that now you can't even experience.
Agreed.
I get the gripe. I understand the concern. I'm in the same boat. Don't sell me something I can't experience without relying on you. That's why I still buy the physical copy of games, because I don't want the online stores to say that they're no longer continuing or saving my information to their cloud. I want the game in hand.
I'm just kind of remarking on the thought that we were so up in arms about SimCity and Diablo 3 being forced online, but now we are, do I want to say desensitized? Or choicefully used words that we're not picking up upon, and we are still being fed this, dare I say it, DRM.
I think it's a case of, or it sounds more a case of, instead of giving you a shot glass full of arsenic, we're putting a little bit in the orange juice. With SimCity and with Diablo, there was no additional functionality. It was, With SimCity, it was so you could play together. That's what they said. But with Diablo, you didn't gain any functionality by playing online. The game was perfectly playable offline. It was a security function.
Yes.
Right? This, I think we're being sold because it's not being portrayed as a security function. It's being portrayed as a feature that, hey, look, you can play with your friends. Isn't this wonderful? But no, it's not.
But I think Wade's statement also is true from a desensitized standpoint. And I think the reason why is that with some of the earlier online required games, and I speak earlier and I don't talk that far away, Diablo 3, Sin City, that kind of thing.
Sin City?
Sim City. I had Jessica Alba on the brain there.
I thought so.
Sin City.
But there were some serious growing pains. I mean, when Diablo 3 launched, I tried to get in and I couldn't. There were people that I watched live stream that took an hour just to get into the servers because they were so bogged down.
I mean, you say Error 37, everyone knows what you're talking
about. People know what's going on. It's all a failure to authenticate because the servers have too much... they got a bottleneck clog. But with more recent games, Destiny and a few others that have released that I'm not super up on terms with, you were able to download or either download the game if you bought it online or load up the game from disk, and there was no connectivity issue. It felt seamless. And as long as they do it to where it feels seamless, I think it's an easier pill to swallow than when you try to log in and play a game that you spent money on and you can't.
I missed the days where it was like, put in a game, press start, put in character name, go. Now it's put in the game, press start, put in character name, connecting.
Yeah.
Yeah, waiting on servers.
Yeah.
Well, and to slightly hijack this a little bit, but it's in the same vein, I don't know if they've done this with anything for you guys on the PlayStation side of things, but I found the other day a couple Xbox games, Destiny being one of them, and it's really soured me on Destiny. Destiny is one, and I found a kid's game I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, that requires Xbox Live Gold to play.
Really? So, wow.
Yes. So after I've dropped $60 for the game, or $80 or $100 if I got a special edition, now for the rest of my life while I play this game, I have to pay $50 a year just to play it. Because if I don't keep my Live Gold subscription active, I can no longer play the game that I own.
Jeez, that is a whole nother kettle of fish.
Oh, that's yeah.
That's why I'm not a fan of Xbox and Microsoft in the gaming realm. PlayStation, I've never been pinged to require to pay for the PlayStation Plus membership factor.
Yeah.
The online play was always free. There was no subscription involved. Connected up. If you had wireless, it connected wirelessly. You could cable it. Thank you for buying a PlayStation. Feel free to enjoy.
I wonder how many Xbox Ones would have sold if they went like after they flip-flopped on everything and then went, you know what? Screw it. Xbox Live is free.
Yeah. Well, and you know the thing is, I thought that we were moving forward because until recently, you used to have an Xbox Live Gold subscription to use any of the apps on the 360. So if I wanted to watch Netflix, I had to be a Gold subscriber.
That's right.
If I wanted to watch HBO. This. Yeah, we did. And here recently, they changed that and made them available even if you don't have a subscription, which I thought was great, because I don't pay for Gold or Live Gold. And now I can watch Netflix on my Xbox. So I thought that we were moving forward, and then I discovered these games that after buying the games, I now am required to pay for live gold.
Yeah, that's... Thank you for reaffirming my stance on the Sony-Microsoft realm.
Yeah. That's but crazy. Hey, they own Minecraft now.
Yeah. Hooray. All your live gold subscriptions have gone to my Microsoft buying Mojang.
Xbox yep, Live exactly. Gold is to account for doing in-app purchases of Minecraft. Did you need another stack of dirt?
Yeah, that's getting in a whole nother realm. And before we get too in-depth anything else, we do need to wrap up here. We have exceeded an hour of your time. We thank you for listening. Any final thoughts, follow-ups, anybody?
Tune in again next week.
Tune in next week. We will be talking about the Box Trolls.
And we'll waste another hour of your time.
Hey, provide quality entertainment. Sorry, sir.
Yes.
Or
yes.
The lack, how dare you?
Or then
we will entertain you for another hour.
How dare you?
Hey, it's the abundance of not. There's really nothing there.
But there's lots of it.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.